B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll start with a follow-up story. I've mentioned this a few times, but Nancy Crampton. Nancy Crampton.
I love the first one.
Yeah. Brophy, convicted May 25th for killing her husband at the Oregon Culinary Institute in 2018, was sentenced to life in prison on Monday. Mm. Brophy will be considered for parole after 25 years. She's a romance novelist who once wrote a blog titled How to Murder Your Husband.
Well, there you go.
That blog was not allowed into evidence during the trial. The sentencing included impact statements from Daniel Brophy's family members and a former Oregon Culinary Institute student. Crampton Brophy did not make a statement before the sentencing was imposed.
It is kind of amazing, and I don't understand the specifics, but when you write an article, basically, on how to kill your husband and then you're accused of it, that seems pertinent.
Yep. Crampton Brophy took the stand in her own defense during the trial that lasted 7 weeks. Though her defense attorney laid out the case that the prosecution had only circumstantial evidence to tie her to the killing, the jury found that the evidence connected her to the murder beyond a reasonable doubt. So she is going to jail for life on that. A wanted man climbed through a beauty salon's ceiling crawl space Saturday and dropped down shirtless into an ongoing church service in an effort to avoid arrest. It's a sign from God. Deputies were called to a shopping complex Saturday evening for a wanted person. The Emergency Communications Center had received a tip that Troy Longwell was at a beauty shop in the complex and had active warrants. The tip also indicated Longwell would run and hide. So deputies confirmed Longwell was wanted in four different jurisdictions, and deputies surrounded the shopping complex. The business owner consented for deputies to check the beauty salon, and the hide-and-seek began, where deputies quickly discovered a ceiling tile out of place and a human leg in the crawl space of the ceiling. Commands were given to surrender, but the leg disappeared in the crawl space toward a connected business. Deputies rushed into the church, occupying the next suite with a service in progress. Longwell, shirtless and out of breath, was detained in the sanctuary in the middle of the service. The investigation revealed Longwell had climbed into the ceiling.
When Christ Jesus!
Deputies arrived at the business. He crawled through the ceiling and dropped into a room behind the sanctuary next door before walking into the active service. Additionally, a suspected controlled substance was found where he entered the ceiling.
I've come from heaven with a message from God.
Longwell was served 7 active warrants when they got him.
You know what the Bible says.
Yeah. It was a devastating rumor that plagued one of the world's most celebrated alpinists for decades that he had left his less experienced brother to die on the mountainside in a selfish bid to reach the summit of Nanga Parbat in Pakistan back in 1970. While Italian Reinhold Messner, 77 years old, had always insisted his sibling was swept away by an avalanche during their descent from the 26,000-foot peak known today as Killer Mountain, an air of suspicion followed him throughout his career. Much of the controversy came after two climbers who were on the same expedition, Hans Saaler and Max von Keinlen, both wrote books in the early 2000s which accused Reinhold of abandoning his brother, Gunther, after he became delirious and consumed by frostbite.
So this guy's lived with these accusations for decades.
Yeah, but the father of four now appears to have been vindicated once and for all after the boot of his tragic brother emerged from a glacier last week some 52 years later.
So the boot stuck up for him, right?
Yep, the discovery.
I'd just like a few words, please. he is not guilty. In fact, he did everything he could to find the rest of me.
The discovery of the leather footwear was made by locals at the foot of the mountain. And precisely it was where Reinhold had claimed that his brother was swept to his death. Bones belonging to Gunther, who was 23 when he died, were found in the same area back in 2005, along with his other boot, which still had remains of the foot inside.
Jeez.
Reynolds smuggled the bones and boot in 4 rucksacks out of Pakistan before having the big toe tested for DNA in Austria, which confirmed they belonged to his brother. The footwear is instantly identifiable by belonging to Gunther as they were custom made for him. And he said, "This is further proof that I did not abandon Gunther. People said that I left him to die, sacrificing him for my own ambition. I am at peace with myself, even if the accident changed my life.
See, a lot of people balked at the concept of all those big toe testing facilities they have now.
Right, yeah. Right. And now look
what
happened.
Saved his life.
Now what?
The mountain never lies, he said, and there is and if there was still the need, the discovery of this boot definitively establishes the truth of my brother's death. Reinhold almost died himself when he climbed down from Nanga Parbat back in 1970, becoming lost for 6 days before losing several toes to frostbite.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
He penned a book in 2003 titled The Naked Mountain, in which he recalled how his brother became struck by altitude sickness before he became separated. And he claimed he desperately tried to find his sibling.
So it's known as Killer Mountain?
Yeah.
The deadliest mountain, Nick, I believe, is it still...
I don't know. I thought it was Everest. Deadliest has to do with number of people who make it to the summit versus number of people who die.
Right. Yeah.
So
is it Everest?
It, per capita, it might be Everest, but like Mount Washington in New Hampshire,
it's deadly.
Probably it's really deadly, but it's also really accessible.
Yeah.
And so more people will try that one.
Hmm.
All right. And then one last story. This is under the title of Why Did This Internet User Pick Up a Lethal Animal? And apparently there are a couple examples of this, but this one is about a guy named Alex Reed, too, a popular TikTok user, nearly 1 million followers. He recently posted a video of himself prodding, picking up, and licking a strikingly colored blue jellyfish that lay on the beach.
Oh, no.
In the video, he says, "Look, guys, jellyfish is still here. I'm going to go get it." And this is how it appears. Yes, it is a jellyfish. And look at how big it is. It's still in motion. I'm going to lick it. Alexa, a makeup artist and self-proclaimed CEO of Eating Bugs, has no idea that his new jellyfish friend is a Portuguese man of war, or a blue bottle, as they call it, one of the ocean's most dangerous creatures. Portuguese man of wars are siphonophores, which are not a single animal, but a colony of organisms that work together and are closely related to jellyfish. These floating terrors frequent Australia's beaches and are responsible for up to 10,000 stings to humans per year, and they leave nasty welts, and they have an intensely painful sting. But this guy picks it up, and he actually licks it. But he licked the top of it. He didn't lick the tentacles.
Which would have been unbelievable. Years ago, when we were on a cruise, we looked over the side. This was down in Bermuda. And Preston, the bell, the top of the Portuguese man of war, was like 6-7 feet. It was huge.
They get that big?
Yeah, they get that big.
I didn't know the Portuguese man of war.
Yeah, so they were enormous, and the tentacles can go down like 60, 70 feet.
Really far.
Yeah.
So.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
All right, listen to this guy. A daredevil father will sail 1,900 miles across the Atlantic Ocean in a tiny 3-foot-3-inch long boat that he built himself as he attempts to break a world record. I saw a picture of this thing. I don't see how this guy's going to live.
Well, it's going to be great, too, because it can also double as a coffin.
Yeah, Andrew Bedwell from England. He's from, set off from Newfoundland, Canada.
That's the point of departure.
Next May, hopes to smash the record for sailing the smallest boat to cross the Atlantic. He compared the journeys to being, quote, stuck in a wheelie bin on a roller coaster for 90 days.
It's going to be good fun, don't you know?
His fiberglass boat, which is a half meter shorter and has a top speed of 2.5 miles. Is a modified version of ship that another ex-record holder, Tom McNally, designed.
There's another point about the end of next year when I'm defecated out the ass of a shark.
Listen to this. So during his expected 3-month crossing, he will survive off of a protein-rich substance that is molded around the internal walls of the cockpit to save space. Okay. His food is going to be molded.
He's eating his boat.
To the walls, and he's going to be eating part of his boat. Yeah. The thrill-seeking father of one admitted his wife thinks that he's, quote, crackers. but said that he...
She actually called him an a-hole.
...wanted to achieve something amazing before he turned 50.
So this has been done before?
Yeah, but he's doing this like a half meter shorter. So he said, all my life I've done unusual challenges, and it slowly got more and more important to myself to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
No.
Speaking about his purpose, built tiny boat, the Big C. He said, I think a space rocket would have more room. Andrew, who is Scarisbrick, Lancashire, delivers yachts around the world and also works as a sailmaker.
I had to go to my boss and ask, do you mind if I commit suicide?
He has spent most of his life embarking on nautical adventures. He previously sailed nonstop around Britain.
All right.
And has taken his small 6.5 carbon racing yacht across the Atlantic and up to the Arctic Circle.
I didn't realize this small boat thing was a thing.
I had no idea it was a thing. Nick found a picture of it. It's ridiculously tiny.
What's it powered by? Is it rowing it?
I don't know. It's 2.5, goes 2.5
Twin Evan Rouge.
No, I think it's...
yeah. Twin 100.
Two 900 horsepower.
Valid watch.
I don't know, but it only goes 2.5 miles per hour, so it's crazy.
That's great.
In Arsenal... An arsenal of weapons, several small explosive devices, and thousands of rounds of ammunition were found in a house that was the site of an explosion on Saturday, where an occupant had been under police scrutiny. The victim was in critical condition. The explosion started in the garage and spread to the house. The victim is a man in his 30s. He was taken to the Detroit Receiving Hospital with severe injuries, including the loss of both arms.
Mm.
So I think he was working on illegal explosives in his house.
I so much more making my own.
The man had an extensive criminal background involving weapons charges and manufacturing of explosive items and was under investigation prior to the explosion.
Any idiot can make a...
Police executed a search warrant Saturday and recovered a dozen firearms, including handguns and rifles, as well as loaded AR-style magazines and about 4,000 rounds of ammunition.
And one tiny boat.
Small explosive devices were found as well, and police believe an illegal operation was running out of the house. So,
in a way, it's good that these people take care of themselves.
Yeah, he got blowed up. A 46-year-old man brandishing a knife and lighter fluid threatened to blow up a downtown St. Louis White Castle restaurant on Wednesday morning. A detective investigating the incident said Luke Cody walked into the restaurant.
What's about with the square burgers?
11 a.m. and told employees and customers that in addition to blowing up the restaurant, he would also kill everyone inside. Cody then tried to barricade the restaurant's doors with chairs and began pouring lighter fluid on the floor, on the front counter and dining room table. Before he unsuccessfully tried to ignite both surfaces. At that point, Cody said that he was going to kill himself and started making cutting motions on his arm, prompting customers to flee the restaurant. It was right, then that they decided to leave. Not when he was pouring fluid all over the place and lighting it on fire. It's unclear if he injured himself. When officers arrived, Cody dropped the knife and was taken into police custody.
Can I just get some burgers?
And as a precaution, the bomb and arson unit responded to the scene and told the remaining employees and customers to leave the restaurant. They found a bottle of lighter fluid and a bottle of fuel additive and partially burned paper towels. So no explosive devices.
Back-to-back lunatic stories.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What else I have here for you? Let's see. This week, a brazen trio of reckless drivers caught a police chief's attention for performing burnouts in the dumbest possible place, which was right in front of the police station with security cameras dotting the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
The chief said, when this happened, I was in my office, I could hear the sounds, and so were some of the other members of the department. I literally looked out my window and saw these kids doing burnouts right in front of the police station.
Whee! That's what I get to do!
I'm not that dumb.
There's video of it, too. So the chief...
Guess what I get to do?
...bolted outside and grabbed the offender's license plate numbers and saw passengers hanging out of the window, taunting him and anyone else within range.
Yeah.
The police, okay? Right.
They're not going to have security cameras.
Officers quickly tracked down and arrested three people associated with the incident and impounded all three vehicles. Two of those were forfeited to the police. So there you go. Hope you got your jollies there, my friend. All right, and let's see. Oh, what movie does this make you think of? This is our last story in the file. A Friday morning crash in Huntingdon County, Pennsylvania, ended with one person having to be rescued after a manure truck rolled over in Huntingdon County.
Back to the Future?
Yep. Crews were called to the scene of a vehicle crash at 8:42 a.m. After arriving 18 minutes later, they found a manure truck rolled over in a field with a person trapped. The truck was lifted off the person, and they were freed. And they reportedly had non-life-threatening injuries. But, yeah, that's immediately I thought.
Of course, yeah.
Back to the Future when I saw that. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.